to offer up another prayer to the Lord this evening. Lord, we gather here and we thank you for the opportunity to be generous in the Christmas season. Thank you for all the giving that people do. Do help the giving to the Salvation Army for their work of bringing relief. And may that be of great effect in this season for all those who are bringing help to those who are in a fragile condition. But also lead us, Lord, our shepherd, because we come to your manger, each of us, in the stillness of this night. And here we know our profound powerlessness, because we see you there, a fragile, powerless newborn. Yet, even coming to you, we recognize that the newborn child is the ruler of the universe. We hear your newborn cry, the cry we have been waiting for. Make room for me. Make room for me in your hearts. Fragile God, born in the night, meet us here at the manger. Meet us as a newborn child meets new parents. Come to change our lives forever. Meet us as the newborn who insists that we make room for you, but who also requires that we reorder our lives to pay attention to you, and who demands that we be recentered on the very center of life. Fragile God, born in the night, you come as a tiny light in a vast darkness. Yet that fragile and flickering light, that's like the light we're going to have on our candles soon, changes the darkness completely. O God, meet us here in the lighting of our small lights, that we may know your awesome power, making room among us as the light that shines in the darkness, the fragile light that the darkness cannot overpower and it cannot overcome. Dear Lord, please come to us. There's room in our inn. Be present in our night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And our scripture I've chosen this evening is not a traditional Christmas passage, but the theme is being of the same family. We are of the same family with Jesus because of what he has done. And listen to Hebrews 2, because it does talk to his coming. Hebrews 2 says in verse 5 through verse 12, "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, 'What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them all a little lower than the angels, but you crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them, even though at present we do not see everything subject to them. But what we do now see is Jesus, who is made lower than the angels for a little while, but is now crowned with honor and glory because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons..." Sorry, I should click the slide. We're not there yet. Oh, you did it. Okay. Verse 10. "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy, and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises.'" The last verse, verse 12, is Jesus saying he is going to be one among us, praising God in our midst. And even when we gather here on earth, Jesus will be among us at the time he came 2,000 years ago, and he sang praises to God together with his disciples and with other people of that time. And I want to remember with you that we're saying that we're of the same family. Here's a picture, a stylized picture of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, the family, the Holy Family. But I want us all to remember that we are family with the Lord as well. There's a family, a normal family. And we are part of that family of God through Jesus. This incarnation, this being born as a baby to a mother named Mary, has put us all definitely in the same boat. We are with him, and he is with us, of the same family, as Hebrews 2 says. This was done so that he can bring us into the glory of heaven. And he has now been crowned, but only after he submitted to life as a mere human being. His journey started in Bethlehem as an insignificant infant, without any idea who he was or what he would do. As a baby, what do you know? What will that person be? Where will they go? Where will they end up? The Lord led this baby Jesus, on a journey that was completed in the cross of Calvary, of Golgotha. He had to die in order that we might live. He was willing to lay aside all the prerogatives and privileges of heaven in order to come down to our level, to complete God's marvelous plan of redemption and restoration, which he intended from the beginning of the world. Jesus was not going to refuse being submitted to the Lord in this way, to God and his plan. He came and humbled himself. And he did this to be able to release and redeem the world that had fallen into sin. One of the main reasons he comes to us is to be able to liberate this planet Earth, because it had been subjected because of the failures of mankind. Remember the power that God gave to man in Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God gave the earth to the rulership of the human race. But when they fell, it was spoiled and it was ruined. And in order for God to set it straight, he could have revoked our reality completely. He could have ended the whole history of the world. He could have ended human life as we know it. Could have happened many times over the course of our history. But he had a plan, and the plan was focused on Jesus. It was a plan that was prepared before the foundation of the world and promised in Genesis 3 that the son of the woman would crush the serpent's head. He would win the victory. He would liberate the world. He would provide for the forgiveness of sins. And he establishes a new family, a family of which we are the same as him, by joining it through faith. When we believe, when we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become brothers and sisters of him. He has said it himself. He is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, we who follow him, we who have surrendered our lives to him. We are now recipients of this beautiful gift of grace, of amazing grace. Amazing grace. I was once was lost, but now I'm found. God has gifted us this grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He has enacted His covenant of redemption, which is He's made an agreement through Jesus that is being fulfilled through time and history. And so He grants to everyone who believes and trusts in Him a new beginning. A new beginning which is as beautiful as the beginning of this baby boy, our baby Jesus. This history of ours, made every day, will not be completed until God has worked His own purposes out. I think I mentioned that my brother-in-law said to me in Ireland in the summer, before we came here to Guam, knowing that I was going to be pastor of a church, he said, "Be sure to tell them," he said, "the end is coming soon." And I think he thought it would happen by now. But we may end up in 2023. I don't know. The Lord may come. When He comes, we will welcome Him. We will sing, "Praise the Lord. He has come at last." But until God has finished His purpose, God has worked His purpose out, whatever His ultimate plan is, He is doing good and marvelous things all over the world. Things which we may not even recognize because we don't have the eyes to see all the things that God is doing, the ways in which His Spirit is moving in the hearts of men and women today. But we hold on to it, the promise and the hope. This is what we believe in this time of Christmas. It's not about what you can see, but it is beyond our sight. That's what faith is. It's the substance of things you cannot see. So the lights of Christmas are beautiful. They are wonderful. They lift our hearts up. Hillary and I were in Haganya just the other night, and we looked at the lights of there by the cathedral and of the governor's house up on the hill, and we were just smiling. It was fun to see all the lights shining brightly in the night. The lights of Christmas are beautiful, but the most important thing, they show that there is a light from heaven, the light of God's truth and love that is always illuminating our world, evident to the eyes of our hearts, to the eyes of faith. Let us always believe this, that shining forth from the eyes of that infant was a wisdom beyond the universe. And He contained the promises of heaven. And He knew what the glory of heaven was like. But He was more than glad to be counted among one of us so that we can be of the same family as Him. And we can all take up our cross and follow Him on our journey. Amen.